today on Real Radio.
But godly witnesses, listen, it is a man or a woman who is filled with the logos of God, that is the word of God, the Bible in your lap, which in turn governs his ethos, that is his lifestyle. Is the Bible big enough in your life to govern your lifestyle?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Acts of the Apostles, begins a new series called The Book of Acts. The New Testament Book of Acts took 28 years to write and was written by Luke, the physician who also gave us the Gospel of Luke. The Book of Acts is the story of the first Christian church and records the Acts of the Apostles of Jesus who were filled with and empowered by the Holy Spirit and sent into ministry. The Book of Acts could also be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit because of how it teaches on the Holy Spirit coming to fill and to give power to those who follow Christ. It especially tells us about the work of two of the apostles, Peter and Paul. Peter was the central person involved in beginning the church in Jerusalem, while Paul was the missionary who went out to share the gospel of Christ to nearby countries. Today on day three of this lesson, Pastor Jack wants us to consider those things that govern our lives. The Holy Spirit is with us to help decide on what's important. He's inside of us to renew and restore our hearts, and he's upon us to give us power to stay on the right path. And now, continuing his lesson called The Acts of the Apostles, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Oh God, are you going to restore the kingdom? The answer is yes, I'm going to restore the kingdom, and it will be restored to Israel during the thousand-year reign of Christ, which is at least 7 years away. Oh, Israel is going to have the kingdom restored to them. That's great. The answer is yes, and the answer is no, not right now. God's got a work to do. But I want the kingdom, so do I. But I want to have an effective ministry, so do I. But I want to, so do we. But nothing, even the kingdom itself can precede the fact that you and I must be filled. We must be filled. Jesus says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The word in the Greek upon is epi. EPI, it means to come on you, to cover you, or to overflow you. When we were a non-Christian, the Holy Spirit was alongside of us, convicting us of sin, saying, don't, no, no, no. You need Jesus, Jesus, Jesus in your life. And you heard it all your days. And then you came, and you said, Jesus, I want you in my heart. The Holy Spirit said, thank you very much. And he opened the door of your heart and walked in and shut the door, never to leave you or forsake you. You were saved. But the book of Acts shows us that we must not only have him alongside us, but in us, but upon us for service. And that word that appears right here is the fact of the matter, and that's EPI, upon. The Holy Spirit will come upon you for dynamic power as a Christian. And that's great news. You shall receive power. This word power in the Greek is the word dunamis. You've heard it before. D-U-N-I-M-I-S. And the word simply means a dynamic work or a miraculous power or supernatural ability or abundant strength or mighty works. It's where we get the English word dynamite. Isn't that neat? I'm a Christian. It's a drag, man. Well, I don't know what Bible you're reading, but your life ought to be like dynamite. And if it's not, then we need to get realigned. In the book of Acts, chapter 6, verse 8, there's a guy that is so full of the Holy Spirit by the name of Stephen. This guy was a waiter in the church, and he was full of the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you, he had a chance to preach the gospel, and he gave one of the most awesome sermons in the book of Acts that you'll ever hear. But the scripture says there in 6, 8, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. That word full in the Greek is the word plethora, or where we get plethora, an abundant overflowing of power. Jesus said, listen, catch this, In John's gospel, Jesus said, if anyone who thirsts, let him come after me, remember? And I will give him living water. And out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. That word in the Greek means torrents, floods of water coming out of you. When Jesus said, you wait, because you're going to receive power of the Holy Spirit when he comes upon you. The word means to cover over completely. The word means to be absolutely flooded by the Holy Spirit. And out of his innermost being, it says of you and I, shall flow rivers of living water. Last service, we have a man who's 93 years old. Comes faithfully to this church, and he has since the day it started. And I mentioned this point right here, and he went, yippee! You can't be in his presence without getting wet. You better have your little booties on because he's full of the Spirit of God. Out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Jesus said so, and it's by the power of the Spirit being upon us. Don't you want it? I hope this is making you really thirsty. His power. And you will be witnesses, he says. Witnesses. Where? In Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Then why aren't we doing it? What's the problem? We have the promise of the Holy Spirit. The problem is not many are asking for the Holy Spirit to come upon them. Jesus says, if you ask, if you being an evil parent, and he means that in an earthly sense. He says, if your child comes up to you and says, can I have a piece of bread? Are you going to give him a rock? Daddy, can I have an egg? And you give him a scorpion? Jesus said, you won't do that. How much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to them who ask? And by the way, he's talking to believers. So ask, and you'll receive this power. I think don't get mad at me for saying this, but I think it's true. Jesus says, you shall be my witnesses. Starting in Jerusalem. You know where it starts first? In your heart. The word witness is the Greek word martis. It's where we get the word martyr. It means to give evidence upon a fact. To give testimony of what you've seen. We have people walking around who say they're Christians. I was sharing at the beach. And this guy goes, hey man, get off my back. I'm a Christian. Well then, what are you all drugged up for? Oh, hey man, woo, don't judge me. Well, look, the Bible judges you. I don't judge you. But don't tell anybody you're a Christian on drugs, pal. Well, come. Because it really rips Jesus off. And there are people running around saying, oh, I'm a Christian. And they're living like hell. They're doing all the things of the rotten fruit. That's listed in Galatians 5. They're gossiping, they're tattletaling on this thing, they're in adultery, they're in fornication, they're in drugs, they're all, and it's the fruit of the flesh. And if you're there this morning, nobody shoots you if you're feeling conviction, that's the Holy Spirit. You just simply say, Lord, man, I'm busted, I need help. Yes, you do, and yes, I do. And you say, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit quick. I need you. And get the power from God to get out of that mess. And he'll give it to you. But the greatest, I think, the most damning effect in the church today is not the attack of the government. It's not the attack of the liberal theologian. It's not the attack of Satan himself. That's not our problem. The problem with the church and the earth today is lukewarmness in the body. Powerless, faithless, lifeless Christian life. Jesus said in Revelation 3:16, so because you are lukewarm, not cold or not hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. And that kind of cracks me up. Doesn't that sound gentle? Spew. I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Well, the New King James Version Bible translates it vomit, which still doesn't do the Greek justice. And the NGV version, I just made it up last night. That's the New Graphic Version. The word more correctly ought to be barf or puke. Oh, that's gross. What do you think Jesus feels like? That's right, gross. Ugh. You ever set your coffee cup down? Go back to your work or your drawing, and then your kids decide to maybe put grass, mud, and water in your cup. And you're looking, and you're looking at your drawings, and you pick it up, and you... Pluck! That's what Jesus is going to do. He's not going to spew you out. He's going to go, pluck! Man, what was that? It said Christian all over it. I thought it was going to be hot. No, it's just me. What's the big deal? Who is a godly witness? Godly witness is someone who's effectively witnessing, born of the Spirit. And I'm not talking about going door to door. I'm talking about when it's called upon you in that moment to stand for Christ, you'll be able to do it with power. Could be on the workplace. I believe most of it is on the workplace. But godly witnesses, listen, it is a man or a woman who is filled with the logos of God, that is the word of God, the Bible in your lap, which in turn governs his ethos, that is his lifestyle. Is the Bible big enough in your life to govern your lifestyle? Or is it a Sunday thing? Which is revealed in his pathos, that's his passions. You want to know where a man is who professes to be a Christian or a woman? Look at their passions. Man, doesn't that cut our hearts? Ah, what are you living for? And what you living for, is it worth dying for? We're all going to be a martyr in the end. For what? For the gospel that's eternal? For something that's rusting and perishing and fading away. Jesus says, you'll be my witnesses. And then finally, we see in verses 9 through 11, the governing of the Holy Spirit. You know what? Before we do that, I'd rather spend a little bit more time at the end of verse 8. Look what he says. You'll be witnesses to me in Jerusalem. Look at the geography of this. Jerusalem, then all Judea. That's a little bigger. And then Samaria, that's even bigger still. And then to the ends of the earth. Not only is this a command for any church of any time, but it's specifically as we get to the end of the church's age on the earth, how we need to see to it that the gospel gets around the world. Your little church, at the end of 1993, your little church wound up spending $83,000 on missions. This little place. And that's, to me, awesome. We had no plan on that. God just opened the doors and the opportunity came for us to affect China and Russia and Mexico. You may drop a nickel into the bag and praise the Lord for it. That nickel brought the gospel to somebody in the world. You, and I'm proud to tell you, it's you, are fulfilling verse 8. And that's awesome to me. But we are governed by the Holy Spirit, verse 9. Now, when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up and a cloud received him. The Shekinah glory of God out of their sight. I love this. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men, these are angels, stood by them in white apparel. And I love what they say. Who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand here gazing up into heaven? This same. You ought to underline that. There's people coming to your doorstep that they don't like that. This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come again in like my manner as you saw him go into heaven. Yes, Jesus Christ is coming back, and I hope before third service. He's coming back. This reference, for any of those who are eschatologists here, study of the end times prophetic scene, verse 11 is reference to the second coming, not the rapture, but the second coming, where he'll physically touch down on the Mount of Olives again, where he took off from. But the disciples are standing there, and they're looking steadfast into heaven. The word in the Greek means their eyes were fixed on a hole. That's what the word means. Isn't that funny? their eyes were fixed on a hole. It wasn't a hole down, it was a hole up. And they're going, oh my gosh, can you believe this? And their eyes were just, oh man. Hey, men of Galilee, what are you standing around gawking up into heaven for? Huh? Their eyes were fixed steadfast where he was taken up. They were totally captivated. What are you guys looking around for? This same Jesus, listen, resurrected, not, what's the word? New age. Reincarnated, not reincarnated. Not re-energized or revitalized or resuscitated. Resurrected Christ. In fact, if we had the time, we'd get on over to Luke chapter 24 and they're all hanging around there and they're all talking and Jesus shows up and they go, and he says, what are you guys freaking out about? You look at me like you're seeing a ghost. Handle me and see. A ghost doesn't have flesh and bone as you see me have. And they're all going, That's wow in Greek. And he said, and I love this. He said, you have anything to eat? Isn't that cool? Do you have anything to eat? And they hand him a honeycomb and fish and chips. And Jesus begins to eat. Why? Why did he do that? Because ghosts don't eat honeycomb and fish. Ghosts are demonic manifestations. They're unembodied spirits. Jesus is not some ghost. You could touch him. Talk about physics. You could touch him, and then he could step through this wall and walk away. And then you could run around the corner and get outside that door and run over there and grab him again. You could feel him. He could put his hand in the wall and pull his hand out. You could be holding his hand. He'd put his hand in the wall and your hand would stay outside the wall. His hand would go into the wall. He'd pull his hand out. He'd grab your hand and pull it back. You couldn't go in there, but he could. Man, I think that's awesome. Because he's the master of physics. He's the great engineer. He's the resurrected man. And today, right now, just moments before the hour, earth time, there is a man seated at the right hand of God the Father that you can touch with your hands, who eats fish in honeycomb, who says, man, I'm hungry. At the right hand of God, there is a man, Christ Jesus, who's God-man. 100% God, 100% man. Don't ask me to explain it. The Bible teaches it. I just enjoy it. And he represents you and I before the kingdom. I mean, before the throne of God. That's awesome. That is such good news. Why stand you gazing up into heaven? Because I want to go with them. Nope, boys, get back to Jerusalem. Just as you said, there's work to be done. And there's work for us to do. We need the dynamite power. Let's pray. Father, we ask you, Lord, this morning, we know, first of all, that according to John 15:7, that if your word abides in us, we may ask what we will, and it shall be given unto us, as long as we ask according to the Bible. Jesus, we would ask you this morning on this breaking day for this church to be in the book of Acts. A day, God, that in many of our lives this morning, we can be changed once and for all forever, never to be the same. Father, we ask you, Lord, now, and I'm speaking to believers. Nobody's looking around. Nobody's moving around. I'm speaking to believers. Isn't it time you get filled again? Don't be afraid what's going to happen, because nothing's probably going to happen visibly in this moment. But you will have power. Power to walk, power to witness, power to live, power to know him in a very special and dynamic way. If you'd like to have that power this morning, if you're a believer, you just simply ask him now. He will not give you a scorpion. He will not give you a rock. How much more shall your heavenly Father give them the Spirit who ask him? Ask Jesus now a simple prayer like this if you're a believer. Lord, I want your power that was spoken of this morning. I want to know your dynamics in my life. I want to experience change in me. I love you. I'm your believer, but I lack the strength and the power. Fill me now. And if you're a non-believer this morning and you've just become a believer, as you've heard this, you want to know Jesus Christ. Yours perhaps is not so intimate, though it is. You need to raise your hand now publicly because I need to see your hand, and that's public enough. Jesus says if you confess him publicly, he'll confess you before his Father in heaven. If you deny him, he will deny you. If you'd like to receive Christ this morning as your Savior, to know that you're going to go to heaven, to have that hope and that peace, why don't you raise your hand right now, real quick, and you can put it right down. God bless you in the front. You put your hand down. Anybody else? God bless you, brother in the back. And you, to my left, you can put your hand down in the black sweater. Anyone else? Wise decisions right on both of you. God bless you. Smart choice. You want to know Jesus Christ personally. He can be known personally. Isn't that a radical claim? It's true. Anyone else in this last moment? Where? I see. God bless you. Wise decision. Father, we thank you for the commitments that are made this morning. We thank you. I venture to say, God, that there were decisions made in this room by everyone. For you? Yes. Against you? No. And yes, Lord, fill me with your Spirit afresh. Jesus, may we know the power of the Holy Spirit that wrote this book of Acts. Every moment we break it open, may we experience the dynamite of God. In his name we pray. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Acts of the Apostles. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that you keep asking the Holy Spirit to fill you, to comfort you, and to keep his power flowing in your life. The Acts of the Apostles is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, by the way, if you've made a decision for Christ and you need some help or you just want to talk to someone about it, head on over to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click the Contact tab. We would love to get in touch with you. We'd like to have some contact with you, get somebody in touch that can help you in your walk with Christ. Again, if you've just made a decision for Christ, or maybe you need some hand-holding along the way, that's not a problem. Get a hold of us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. We hope the first installments of this new series from Pastor Jack called The Book of Acts was informative as well as enlightening. The Holy Spirit that filled the first century church with both comfort and with power is also available for us today. So, if you want to learn more specifically about this subject or find yourself missing an episode, simply go to the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. Or remember, you can always visit our website. That's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, did you know that we post a brand new Real Life TV program every Friday morning? You know, if you like Pastor Jack on the radio, you're going to love him on TV. So go check that out at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Every Friday morning, a brand new Real Life TV program. It's available right there at our website. You could use our app to get there if you'd like, or go to YouTube and subscribe to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel. That's every Friday morning, a brand new Real Life TV program. Go check that out at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you'd like to get a hold of us, you can write this number down and call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you could write to us if you'd like, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And don't forget, we have other ways that you can connect with us, like Facebook, Instagram, and the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. Or you can visit our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the Contact tab. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.